This is Kirst Angel from Come Girl 8. It is that time. We're going to listen to my korero with Come Girl 8. I caught up with the group, which consists of Veronica Chase, Lita, and Avishag. While they were on tour, well, they're still on tour, they're on tour across the States for their new album, The Eighth Coming, which came out earlier this month. And we jumped on a Zoom, and they were in the van on their way to Salt Lake City, driving through the forest, and we talked about all the things happening in the world of Come Girl 8. So your music has such a strongly coordinated sonic, visual, and political aesthetic. I hate to try and condense this to like a chicken or the egg scenario, but I'm really curious about how those worlds come about when creating such an intricate body of work as The Eighth Coming.
What's really cool about being on a label is they're like, okay, it needs to be done in a month. We're like, oh shit, okay. But then it makes you like, you know, not be too precious. And there was this, while we were on tour, there were all of these like really interesting coincidences that just kept happening, you know, kind of like that same like experience when your like phone shows you something that you were just thinking about, only it was like, you know, in front of us all the time. And you're like, we just started to joke about like just being in a simulation. You know, I was like, this is a fucking simulation. And then with the political climate and everything being like, I don't know, like I'm such a grandma, like I keep getting faked out by deep fakes. So it's like, okay, like this is the post reality. Like, and of course, like we're from a planet, about 8,000 years old. So we're like, you know, we just really want to help humans navigate this new post reality and this like consciousness that's kind of pervading, especially Americans right now with the political bullshit that's happening. But yeah, this record was just kind of us like marinating on that and trying to like give like a sonic compass, if you will, because there's not really a right or wrong anymore. It seems like everything's gray. So it was a pretty heady time. To put it lightly. And the visuals also are like pretty informed by what we're feeling and just kind of narrating this whole process.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of like intersecting themes, right, which you kind of group under this greater phenomena of cyber feminism, that like tension between the technological and the industrial and the primitive kind of elements. Tell me more about how those two themes kind of collide for you.
That was another crazy coincidence, actually. Yeah. Just like reading the Cyberfeminist Manifesto, like went back to it, and we were already talking about using slime and also like shooting in the woods. It's just like trying to marry like the natural world and like this digital apocalypse. And I'm just like, oh, cool. Like slime is like the third fucking word in this manifesto. So we're like clearly like, you know, picking up from something that was before us. So we went in on that. And now we have a Bible and our own manifesto.
I mean, we also are really inspired by billboard, like Jesus billboards down the highway when we were on tour. So like that was kind of like, and then obviously incorporating like this 90s pop-up warning internet cult kind of vibe to, you know, the visuals and the artwork as well. And then yeah, the VNX manifesto kind of also just intertwined with it all as well in the internet. And
we wrote the music first and then the visual element came later, but we really dove into the digital apocalypse and what we're all experiencing.
Half of who we are as like a collective is like very online, as well as like we are also very physical. Like we really do everything ourselves in that sense.
I mean, you guys have done a lot in terms of curating that experience of your music beyond just the sonic elements. Like you have your own fashion line, right?
Yes.
I love that. The album itself was recorded entirely live and analog onto tape, right?
Everything we've done, actually, besides the first two EPs we did, or the last actually.
Those were tape too.
Those were just, oh, yeah, okay, so everything.
Except
for the only one that was digital was Dumb Bitch, which we recorded in
on a laptop. On a laptop, yeah.
And quite like
yeah.
Love.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a couple singles we did in the box, but everything else has been really analog.
I mean, is that a conscious kind of political choice regarding cyberfeminism as well, do you think, for this body of work?
Totally. I mean, it's something you can touch, and I don't know, we want to like marry that like idea of maintaining your humanity and then being able to translate it digitally, you know, like we do all this stuff with our hands and with physical tape and acetate, you know, lacquers and stuff, and then people hear it on their phones. So it's like, okay, We'll try to keep it human.
We though, like, we didn't, we weren't like, oh, we want to incorporate sucker feminism in this. It was so aligned with what we were already going towards that then when we brought elements of that in, it just,
yeah, it was like simulation shit.
It was all kind of, it just kind of, everything just is really, honestly, truly, fucking insanely just falls into place for us.
And going back,
beautiful. So it's like, that's how we know we're living our truth, you know? It's like, okay, this works. This makes sense.
And going back to, like, just, I think generally speaking, with everything we do, it's like, there's like mix, there's a huge mix of analog and digital. Even with the artwork, you know, we have, like, all of the photos were analog, and then we put it in digital, like, on an iPad, and then we printed it out, digitally.
Or slime on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, literally spitting on it.
The 8th Coming logo, like, we actually made with slime. Like, we're, you know, we do a lot of things where we incorporate both.
Another thing with the analog process is it also, like, keeps you really honest, because you don't have an unlimited amount of takes or time or anything. You've got like 16 channels, and you can only afford, you know, we can only afford so much tape. So it's like, you're really going to get like our sincere performance and not something that was kind of, you know, overdubbed and or whatever, take after take after take. Like, it's, we don't have time for that. So, or space. So we just, you know, you're getting us pretty naturally. And we're all live in the room too. Yeah. We do it.
Yeah, we do all.
We track it all live and then put, you know, like a little spice on top at the end.
I mean, from what I've seen, the live performances from you guys are pretty insane and amazing, that it's cool to be able to translate elements of that to the recordings, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're on tour across the States at the moment, and you're also really well known for being politically outspoken beyond the music itself, from protesting South by Southwest 2024 to having abortion pills on the merch table. What does it feel like to bring the messaging of the 8th Coming to the stage during an interesting political climate in the States at the moment?
It feels like we're living our truth. We're like practicing what we think and believe. It'd be really, like, with South by Southwest, it felt so wrong to be like literally protesting the genocide in Palestine and then fucking setting up our merch booth next to a flyer that says, like, you know, here, you can join the army, and this is where the super sponsor. Like, we just had to follow our hearts with that, and we try our best, you know, and there's always more we can do, but it does feel like we're doing what we can do as musicians, which I think is like some of the best way to communicate with other people.
Does it feel like there's a level of pressure in creating such important music and messaging throughout all this, or is it more the feeling of liberation of, like you say, living your truth?
It's pretty liberating.
We're just doing us and being ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, there's always that inherent, like, oh, fuck, how do we do this, right? You know, we spent a long time, actually not a long time, we didn't have a lot of time to write our statement or even decide if we were going to go to Austin or not. You have to be really conscious, but we always kind of revert back to just, like, speaking with our hearts and, like, okay, if this offends someone, then, you know, they're not on the same page. And, you know, because, you know, there's just, like, there's so many ways to say how you feel, you know? You can always say it wrong, but we believe in fucking, you know, respecting bodies, every fucking body on this planet.
I want to know, in terms of some of your previous work, whether the messaging behind everything is always coming from like a politically motivated place, or whether sometimes there's just a level of absurdity to it. Because I read about the story of the conception of Fantasy Farm, and I was like, this is brilliant. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Was it the story where we were in Virginia and we dressed up as farm animals? Is it that story?
Yes.
Okay. It's kind of like the most authentic thing ever.
It was the most authentic thing ever.
It was, you know, we had been touring for already a month straight, and we finally treated ourselves to a hotel room, and I pull out like this bodysuit that's like a cow bodysuit, and then I put on like some pink, and then next thing I turn around, just like wearing this grill father apron, and then I was like, oh my god, you guys, I haven't told you that I've been listening to Old MacDonald by Ella Fitzgerald for the last month of this whole tour in the back of the van. And And then we put that on. And then next thing you know, Lita's a rooster and Avi, yeah, she's a battery powered lawnmower. And that was the birth of it. And then we showed up at the show and we were like, hey, y'all, welcome to the fantasy farm. Here we are.
I just really need to clarify this, what a Grillfather apron is. It's an apron. And then it has the logo of the Godfather, but it says the Grillfather. So I had that in my bag.
That's a brilliant thing to just casually have in your bag. You never know when you might need it. What is the importance for you in terms of the Eighth Coming of having a body of work with such contrasting tracks like the hardcore and brilliantly funny UTI, which I have to say is probably one of my favorite tracks on the album, and shoegaze number Simulation? Like what, how do those two tracks interact and sit together on an album for you guys?
We really didn't have any time to think. We were just like making shit.
Yeah, I think all of our, actually this album feels the most cohesive maybe out of any of them. But we're always making all different types of music and somehow I think they all live in the same world.
It's also just boring to do the same thing. So we like to stay stimulated.
I want to end by asking a question that I've been kind of meditating since hearing the album for the first time. One of your previous songs, Cicciolina, I didn't know the lore of the song, but it's based around porn star turned politician Cicciolina herself, who you've said before is kind of the original Come Girl One. Assuming that the group of you yes. make up four of the eight, I'm really curious as to who your other top three Come Girls are.
John Waters.
Chris Farley.
Rosie Penny Tootie.
We're still finding them. They're kind of like Pokemon.
Yeah, we're searching.
Honestly, the name. People that come to our merch table, like there's a few Come Girls in there for sure.
Yeah, we've been meeting them across the world.
I don't know what numbers they fall under, but
Ella Fitzgerald is definitely there.
Yeah, she's there. Madonna.
I love that so much. I guess the music of Come Girl 8 is all about unleashing all of our inner Come Girls in a way, isn't it?
Totally.
Yeah, we're all Come Girls.
Yeah.
If you're doing it right.
Speaking of touring and finding Come Girls all across the world, I'm wondering whether we can expect to see you in New Zealand anytime soon.
Oh, I hope so.
We would love to.
We want to.
Yes.
Anyone who's a booker out there, hit us up.
We'd love to have you. I need to see The Eighth Coming live.
Oh, love to show you The Eighth Coming live.
It's Come Girl 8 with Girls Don't Try off of their debut album, The Eighth Coming. Thank you so much to Come Girl 8 for chatting with me about everything happening in Come Girl 8 world. I had a lovely time. You're on BFM.